Now, when it comes to banking, chances are you'll be familiar with the traditional Big Four banks, Commonwealth, Westpac, NAB and ANZ. But are you familiar with Zinja, Vault, Wildcard, Pelican or 86400? These are just some of the up-and-coming so-called neobanks in Australia. Already popular overseas with the likes of N26, Atom and Monzo, neobanks are hoping to offer real competition to traditional banks and to capitalise on the pressure the Banking Royal Commission is putting on traditional banks, particularly with millennials. Vincent Seuss spoke with Charles Nave, head of partnerships at YBF Ventures, to find out what makes a bank a neobank.
Well, neobank effectively is just a bank with no branches. So all the overheads from the branches and from the legacy systems don't exist. So they're able to pass on more effective, more competitive products to consumers. So mortgage products. So if you look at organisations in the UK, like Atom Bank, they're offering the most competitive mortgage rates out of the entire country because they don't have to pass on the cost of these existing archaic, IT systems and have these, vast branch networks.
Why do you think neobanks are the future of banking then, or why does YBF think that is the case?
It'll take quite a while, I think, for neobanks to gain traction in Australia. So you're seeing in the UK that they've got about 5% of the mortgage market there at present, and it will be quite competitive with the likes of Google and Apple and Alipay stepping in. But I think with neobanks in particular, there's a lot of trust issues with the existing banks right now, particularly in light of the Royal Commission. And you're seeing these neobanks have a real opportunity now to kind of pick up particularly the millennial market. I don't think they'll have much luck penetrating the over 40s, over 50s, but certainly the 18 to 35-year-old market, I think they'll have.
Right, so why do you think that is, though?
Well, I think the user experience and branding is a big thing that the banks in the UK have been using to lure the millennials in. They've been offering free withdrawals from overseas. They've been partnering with a lot of other third-party providers, so organisations like TransferWise on foreign exchange, and their products are continuing to evolve, so they're building in artificial intelligence and so on and so forth. It'll be a very slow take-up for neobanks in Australia. So you have the organisations like Zinja, who are starting to get into beta mode now down here, and Vault Bank, and there was another one announced, 86400.
Yes, that's from Cuscal, I think it was. I was reading about it this morning.
Exactly, yeah. So it's owned by Cuscal. They need about $250 million in capital over 3 years, which is quite a substantial investment. But you need a very substantial investment balance sheet to acquire customers. Because you can't, if you look at Zinja and Vault, they're making some really good progress. Vault has raised about $15 million. And that's enough to kind of give them the restricted banking license and for them to get the ball rolling. But to really make an impact, you need a huge balance sheet to acquire customers.
What do you think neobanks will offer that are different to traditional banks today?
Well, effectively, the products won't be much different. The user experience will be different, but you'll see more attractive interest rates effectively in the short term. And then as they sort of evolve, you might see the adoption of things like crypto wallets and artificial intelligence. But this is something which you won't see for 3 or 4 years. So I think the answer there is that neobanks won't be offering something which is substantially different to the existing banks. It will just purely come down to, in my mind, a short-term marketing exercise.
So do you think people will actually make the switch to neobanks? I know you mentioned young people, millennials, will be the first to get on board, but banking seems to be a notoriously difficult industry to get people to change. What do you think will make people actually make the switch?
I think it comes down to money. And whether it's financially in the best interest of consumers to move over to these new products. So KPMG put out a statement last year saying that about 84% of millennials would switch banks and move to a tech company if there was a better product. So going back to the example of Atom Bank again in the UK, these guys, Atom, Starling, Monzo, they've got hundreds of thousands of users because they're able to offer much more competitive rates in terms of mortgages. And they're undercutting the next largest competitor, Lloyds, by a substantial margin. I think that's what's going to catalyse people moving over to the digital banks. If they can't compete in terms of balance sheet and savings, they're really going to struggle to make much of an impact. But the other risk here, of course, is that you have these much larger organisations like PayPal and Amazon and these Chinese companies, Alipay and AI Bank, which is a new one coming out of China from Ditic and Baidu. When you start to see these larger organisations coming in, then you've got the top four banks, you've got the neobanks, and there's just a wide array of different competitors out there that are going to muscle in on the market. So there's going to be a huge challenge, in my mind, from APRA and from the Foreign Investment Review Board to see how they balance competition in this market. You can't protect the top four banks indefinitely. You're seeing that APRA enabling more entrants to come in through a restricted banking license. So there's going to be an awful lot of challenges. And, you know, will people make the switch? I think yes, but that switch will come over a period of 5 to 10 years. So the threat to the big four banks isn't there in the next 5 years, but certainly post 2022, you're going to see a lot of the bank's existing deposit books start to get eaten up by these smaller competitors and also these larger foreign competitors.
Now, I know you mentioned a restricted banking license just there. What processes do neobanks have to go through to get the regulatory approval from APRA or other regulators? And when can we start opening accounts with neobanks?
Well, so with Zinja, they're opening their beta product now. And it depends on what sort of products the bank wishes to go for first. So the most obvious license is the banking license, which is required from APRA. So what's really catalysed in Australia, the opening up of the entrance of these new digital banks is the ruling from APRA to allow a restricted banking license. So the key difference between a restricted banking license and a traditional banking license is that the minimum capital for a restricted bank is $3 million versus $50 million for a full banking license. And the reason APRA have done this is to give new entrants a two-year time frame to help build their business up and build up their balance sheet to apply for that full banking license. So that's the first one. That's the banking license under APRA. And then you have the Australian credit license, which is if you want to offer mortgage products. So you're seeing Zinja have been given approval for the Australian credit license, but they're currently awaiting a restricted banking license from APRA. So I believe currently Zinja are using an organisation called Inju, so that they're riding on their banking license in the interim period. And the very final one, I'm sure there's many more, but the final obvious one is the Australian Financial Services License, which would entitle you to offer financial products and deal in financial products like equities and so on and so forth.
Right, so finally, your organisation, YBF Ventures, helps neobanks and also startups in the financial sector. So can I get you to explain what your role in the neobank industry is and what exactly you're hoping to achieve?
Yeah, sure. Well, YBF was established in 2011, and our goal primarily is to collaborate with everyone in the financial sector and to try to help build a highly competitive and successful domestic fintech economy. We help make material introductions for fintech startups, including neobanks, in our community to people that can help them grow. And we also help a lot of corporate clients in the finance sector, with leads to startups with internal innovation problems.